Riders Pegging Paradise, podcast number 131, on April 29th, 2016. I know there's some of you out there that have been waiting for this one to come out, because this podcast is all about the intersection between cross-dressing and pegging. So I invited all of you cross-dressing guys out there to write in and speak your truth and tell me how it fits into your life. And wow, I've got some stuff. I'm not sure if I can fit it all into an hour. If not, I'll make two podcasts out of this. But we'll see. So let's jump right in. Here's the first letter. Haven't made it to pegging yet, as we do not have the money for a good quality toy, sadly. But I can say that I do dress to at least some extent every day. Normally, it is just wearing some panties, which I have all my own pairs and don't just wear my wife's. It's even to the point now, I can't even remember the last time we had sex if I wasn't dressed. And when I'm wearing lingerie instead of just panties, then it seems the sex is that much more intense for both of us. I guess now it's just save up money so that she can become the one and run it on me and let me really feel like the woman I tried to dress up as. The interesting things that can happen when both partners are bi. I love that last line. Thank you so much for writing in and sharing that with us. Here's the next letter. I was 19 years old and going to be starting university in September. My mom and dad, ever wishing to save money, had come up with a win-win. I would live at my spinster aunt's house, free room and board, and in exchange act as a handyman, as her house really needed some major fixing up. My aunt was an RN by profession, working at the regional hospital in the small city where I was attending university. I had moved up to her place in early August to move my few things in and start work on repairing her house. My aunt had been on vacation when I first moved in, but she was back at work this Monday. I had slept in a bit and didn't realize that her shift was 7 to 3, not 9 to 5. 2:30 p.m. that afternoon, after making some good progress removing a rotten door sill, I decided to take a break. I hadn't masturbated for days and was rather horny. Since I foolishly thought she'd be working until 5 p.m., I went into her room to take a peek through her things. Going cautiously through her drawers, I found nothing of interest at first. Then I stumbled upon the bottom two right-hand drawers on her large dresser. In these were lingerie, really nice stuff, garter belts, stockings, open-bottom girdles, a couple really nice full slips. So satiny. I checked my watch. Lots of time over 2 hours before she could possibly be home. I had the urge to try some things on. I chose some older hose that had a few runs in them and an open-bottom girdle, put them on. Wow. Then put on a full slip over top of that. So satiny. I never realized how arousing it could be, or how loud that window air conditioner in her bedroom was, as my aunt called out in a loud, stern voice, "Taking a break?" I was beet red. I started to try to remove the slip, but Aunt Linda stopped me. "You can't undo this," she said. "Besides," she smiled, "it's not the end of the world. But we're going to have a talk. Keep it on for now." Linda cross-examined me for the next hour. At first I thought it was the reincarnation of the Spanish Inquisition. But very soon, Linda took on a friendly tone. This would be our secret. She was okay with it. But having done this, I had committed myself. Aunt Linda had some rules. First, I had violated her privacy, so now I had to surrender mine by removing the door to the bedroom I was using. Also, any time I wanted to masturbate, I had to ask her for permission, and, if acceptable to her, put on women's lingerie that she would buy for me. I was not to masturbate without her knowledge or approval. If I broke the rules, she would tell my mom. I agreed. We discussed other rules. She wrote them down and had me sign. After supper, she brought out the Eaton's catalog, and we sat together at the kitchen table. By this time, I had removed my bedroom door and put it in the basement. We went through the catalog, and she picked out my new lingerie. 3 full slips, 3 6-garter garter belts, 12 pairs of panties, all white, 12 stockings, 4 black, 4 taupe, and 4 white. She telephoned in the order, then presented me with a package. "This will do you for now, but you will have to give them back to me when your lingerie arrives. Linda had bought me a dozen white tank top undershirts and matching briefs. She added with a wry smile that she thought I was into masculine things, but guessed wrong. She asked me to hand over my pajamas and all existing underwear. Until the order arrived, I was to wear the A-shirt undershirts and briefs as underwear for lounging in the evening and as pajamas. She then ordered me to model them. I went to go to the bathroom to put them on, but she said, "Remember, no more privacy. I saw you in all your glory this afternoon." I stripped and put the new underwear on. I liked it. I liked it a lot. But knew when the lingerie came in, I was committed. Oh well, at least she would keep the secret. She then asked me if I had released in the afternoon. I said no, I hadn't. "Well," she said, "you should ask me for permission now." I said, "Aunt Linda, do I have your permission to masturbate now?" She said, "Yes, John, but I will be your coach." She ordered me to lay on my back on my bed. She ordered me to grab the headboard with my hands. "You are not allowed to touch yourself." She sat in the chair. She then coached me through the new hands-free way of masturbating. She picked up a pair of the new briefs and undershirt, left the room, reemerged a few minutes later wearing them. "It is so hot in here, I thought I'd try men's underwear," she said with a grin. She taught me how to move towards a hands-free climax, tensing of muscles, holding my breath, some gentle, loving humiliation. But I couldn't get there. She suggested maybe I needed an over-the-knee spanking or an enema. It was after 9 p.m., and she informed me I needed release fast because she needed to go to bed. Not enough time for an enema, but maybe a spanking would work. I said, "Sure." She left the bedroom and returned with a little box and a small jar over my knee. I complied. She pulled down my briefs, put a dab of Vaseline on my anus, and pressed in a Gravol suppository, then another, and another, four in all. "This will help you relax, prevent erections, and put you in the right mood." Up went the briefs. "I'll be back in 15 minutes," she said. "If you touch yourself, I'm calling your mom." When she returned, I was starting to feel somewhat dopey and very relaxed. My penis was soft. "Good boy," she said. "You're ready for your spanking. Over my knee." I complied. After a few swats with her hand, she realized she was probably hurting herself more than me. She left and returned with a large, sturdy wooden brush used for back scrubbing. It made a rather good paddle. She started swatting me, increasing the tempo and hitting harder and harder, until I started to cry out. Then she really got into it when I started crying. She took her left hand, covering my mouth with her palm, pinching my nostrils shut between her thumb and index finger. "This will speed up your release, honey." I was starting to fight for air while she continued paddling my ass. It didn't take long. Before I turned blue, I flooded my new white briefs with my release, my semen. Her hand released its grip on my mouth and nose. The spanking stopped. It was the most intense climax of my life. She led me to the bathroom to pee, then back to my bed. I quickly fell asleep. She woke me early for breakfast. She talked about the events of the previous day. She made it clear that she was in charge of my sexuality. During the next week, I requested permission to masturbate twice. On the Saturday morning, I had a breakthrough and climaxed hands-free with Gravol, without spanking. Tuesday afternoon, I took the call advising that the Eaton's order had come in. After Linda got in from work, we went to the catalog office to pick it up. When we got home, Linda ordered me to strip and then dress. Panties, garter belt, stocking, slip. After supper, I requested permission to masturbate. Linda said no, she was going to give me an enema instead. I lived with Linda for 4 years, getting my university degree in the process. Her house was all fixed up. I was a confirmed cross-dresser and had learned the art of hands-free orgasms. I enjoyed weekly enemas as well, and Linda would routinely indulge in clothed, hands-free masturbation in the same room as me on the bed, her in the chair. At my urging, she found an over-the-counter medication which would prevent me from getting erections. The same medication also intensified my orgasms. Linda is now in her early 70s, but we still sometimes email each other about these experiences, and I visit her and her husband once a year. She did marry a few years after I graduated, and she and her husband, who is 6 years younger than her, had 2 kids. Her husband cross-dresses privately and enjoys a submissive sexuality with her. Shortly after they married, Linda urged me to visit them, and at her insistence her new husband made love to me while she watched. With me, he is anything but submissive. Wow, that is quite a story. Goodness. So when I read this, I have to say that I needed to look up what Gravol was, G-R-A-V-O-L. And I found that it's a trade name for the non-prescription drug dimenhydrinate, and it's actually used to prevent and treat nausea and vomiting. So I know from other posts that you made on my forum, on my website, that Claritin actually works wonders, and that is the over-the-counter drug that you have found to keep your penis soft and to thereby place the emphasis and the focus on the prostate and prostate orgasms, which I find fascinating. So, and I'm pretty sure I have that right. If I don't, please let me know. But yes, we're going to talk a little bit about that in the next podcast where I have your other comment that I'm going to read. But yeah, what a story. Goodness, you got initiated when you were quite young. And what an initiation. An interesting aunt you have. And she introduced you to a lot of things at a young age. Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that story and writing in. Here's the next one. In response to the call in your most recent podcast to hear from crossdressers, it's my pleasure to share some thoughts with you. I tend to be wordy, but will try to use some restraint and keep this under 50,000 words or so, and limit my discussion to crossdressing and how it fits in with my marriage and our intimate relationship. I will also speak as a majority of one, meaning that I'm merely describing the way I celebrate crossdressing, not assuming to dictate terms, express the feelings of others, or in any way demean or show disrespect for those who engage in this activity differently than I do. In a gender-blind world, cross-dressing would seem to be a generic enough term that described the practice of a person of one gender wearing the clothing of the other. In the good old days, there appeared to be only two genders, but we'll deal with that in another story. More realistically, this term is used, often in a derisive sense, to refer to a man who enjoys wearing women's clothes, and that will be my focus. I'm a particular type of cross-dresser, although I don't know what the category would be called. Men have many reasons for adopting this practice, and do so in many different ways, ranging from simply liking to put on a pair of panties occasionally, to wearing an entire women's ensemble, including shoes, jewelry, makeup, and wig for a night on the town, and there are many variations in between. When I was a small boy, I had a recurring dream that I was naked and falling through the sky. I'd be caught by a cloud, and it felt good against my bare bottom. That's all I remember about the dream. But as I grew older, I found myself very attracted to women's legs in stockings, loved everything about them, and I was even able, as a cute little guy, to get away with rubbing my hand against the silky fabric. Of course, when I hit 40, the girls started complaining that I should knock it off. Looking back at that dream, I think it was telling me that I was destined to have the desire to feel soft things against my bare skin. I used to have to do chores at home to earn an allowance. One of mine was to empty the wastebaskets. When my mother's stocking developed a run, she'd throw it away, and I'd fish it out of the basket so I could feel and play with it. I was too young for there to be a sexual component. I just liked how the nylon looked and felt. In time, my older sister started wearing stockings, then pantyhose when they arrived on the scene, and my interest began to grow. I eventually got into putting them on my legs to see what it felt like. It felt good. And I began to compile a stash in a box in my closet. As you might imagine, masturbation soon became a significant and favored leisure time activity. Here's where I leave out a huge amount of pedestrian detail. I continue to engage in these clandestine activities and secret pleasures for the duration of my residence with my parents, and went away to a technical college upon graduating high school. Although the desire was huge, I had to mostly suppress the urge to indulge in these acts while living in an apartment with three other guys. In my third year of school, I met the girl who would become my wife. We hit it off right away, emotionally and sexually, and were married in less than a year. Still are. For me, she was perfect. On our dates, she nearly always wore a dress and pantyhose. I couldn't keep my eyes or hands off her. I was frequently helping her out of her panties and hose as we parked in dark country lanes at night. As a cross-dresser, it meant something slightly different when I'd used the expression, "I'd like to get into her panties," but I digress. In the early years of our marriage, I'd sneak a pair of her pantyhose out of the drawer when she wasn't around, just so I could enjoy the feeling against my skin for a short time. She never caught me, as I was very careful. But one day, just a few years into our marriage, I confided my secret to her in an awkward, for me, moment, as we lay in bed talking. Wearing these things at least once in a while was what I craved. To my good fortune, she listened patiently and was empathetic and understanding, and accepting, best of all. I felt relieved that someone else knew and that someone was my best friend and wife. Still, there's always been a stigma attached to such behavior, and I was ashamed of myself and embarrassed. I would occasionally slip into some pantyhose, but it would be when she wasn't around. I didn't want her to see me in hose. Most of us who are into this know exactly what I'm talking about, especially those of us who are older and grew up in more prejudiced, restrictive times. Fast forwarding through raising children, having a career, and experiencing the empty nest, I had a change of attitude several years ago. I've adopted the position that life's too short to deny yourself simple pleasures. You like what you like, and that does not make you a bad person. I can't learn to not enjoy wearing women's underwear. I have fully accepted that I am a cross-dresser and do more than just try on pantyhose these days. My cross-dressing has expanded, though I don't go all the way. This is the type of cross-dresser I am. I'm totally shaved below the waist and have taken to wearing panties with my pantyhose on an almost everyday basis. I prefer satin high cuts for everyday wear and love sheer-to-waist hose. Several years ago, I divested myself of all my male underwear, and today don't own a single pair. If I visit a doctor, I wear a pair of blue microfiber boy shorts that resemble male underwear, without the fly. Although I have gone out in public wearing shorts with pantyhose underneath, that's pretty rare, as I continue to withhold this from my children and most of my vanilla friends. I have no compunction about being seen with bare legs. Who looks at a 65-year-old guy anyway? And you see a lot of guys who don't have much leg hair these days, so who's going to be wondering if I shave them? Let them guess. I would like to go farther as a cross-dresser, but I downplay this as a courtesy to my wife. She will buy me panties and hose, but she has told me that she wouldn't be thrilled to see me sitting around the house in a dress. So the best I can manage is to wear a short black satiny slip when she's away for a while, sometimes accompanied by one of her flimsy nightgowns. My feet are too big for high heels, so that's out. I don't wear a bra because that seems kind of pointless without having much to put in one. No makeup, no jewelry, aside from the occasional ankle bracelet, which I think are very hot on the outside of a nylon-clad ankle. And there's no way I could leave a wig lying around the house. I'd love to get a makeover to see what I'd look like fully dressed, but that's not going to happen. I just have to be happy with what I know my wife will tolerate. Would anybody guess that I cross-dress? Not in a million years. I'm very masculine, although my build has gone from being a hairy fat guy to one who is slender and now has a waistline. One of the benefits of cleaning up my act and getting more fit is that my wife recently told me that she wished her legs looked as good in hose as mine. And I do have to admit that fitting into normal-sized lingerie has been an incentive to stay on a healthy eating regimen and exercise program. Who wants to wear XXXL pink panties? Not me. I do fine with size 7, and pink is my favorite panty color. Makes me feel the most feminine. For most of my adult life, I've worn a beard. I worked in a predominantly male field, fixed the cars and anything else broken around the house, remodeled kitchens, installed aluminum siding on my older home, cut the grass, shoveled the snow, was good at sports, played guitar in band. All the fun guy stuff. I'm a husband, father, and grandfather, a law-abiding citizen, and a good neighbor. I just like to wear soft and silky underthings and embrace a feminine side of myself. I also crave this form of expression in intimate relations with my wife. I like being sensitive and vulnerable, traits closely associated with being female. I like to imagine taking on the feminine role in lovemaking, dressed in lingerie, especially in a pegging scenario. I thank my lucky stars that my dear wife is nearly as kinky as I am, and she's more than willing to slide one into me. All I have to do is say the word. What doesn't work quite so well is that my wife and I both want the same things. We both want to let go and be the object of each other's control and lust. We both held high-stress jobs that came with a lot of responsibility and decision-making. She was a critical care nurse for 18 years, and I was a group leader on my job, dealing with all manner of daily job crises. We need a break from that, and giving up control for an hour or two of kinky sex is the prescription we both need. For me, to lie there in wispy feminine underwear and be penetrated like a woman is the best escape one could ever have. Before I close, I'll briefly mention that I have slowly been evolving from my lifelong assumed gender identity as a straight man. Although I often fantasized being female through the years, I accepted the reality of my life as a male, and as a fairly content one. But we dabbled in swinging for a short time, and I found myself drifting towards bi curiosity. And eventually we did have some male-to-male contact on occasion. And I enjoyed the experimentation to the point that I would like to explore this area more thoroughly. But I think my readiness to accept being bisexual may have spooked my wife, who has indicated that she wants to restrict our sexual adventures to ourselves in the future. She's the best wife a man could have, and she deserves my fidelity and respect for her wishes, and so it is. In summary, I'm a cross-dresser plus. I'm somewhere along that continuum of cross-dresser, transvestite, transgender, whatever, but firmly rooted in the reality that I was born a biological male. I'm a decent man and a part-time decent girl. I like it this way. I don't know if this is anything at all like you were expecting to hear, but I humbly submit this small part of my story in all candor and humility. You're a remarkable woman with a great spirit of adventure and excitement. I love how open you are about sexuality and appreciate the website and podcasts as you take over the world one ass at a time. Best regards, Silky. And when you guys have shared with me your female name, I will share that on air, which is pretty cool. And wow, you said taking over the world one ass at a time. I do believe that I neglected to say that at the beginning of the podcast, so I appreciate the reminder. And I really, really appreciate the story, the emotional depth with which you told it, the details, how you feel about it, how it works, how it fits into your relationship, and the parts that don't. There's so many times that I hear men who cross-dress talk about how silky something is, how satiny, how it feels so good against their skin. And wow, that should not be restricted to just women, you know? I mean, men can wear silk shirts, absolutely they can. But there's also the feminine aspect of the clothing that is such a turn-on for you guys, I get that. Okay, so here we are to the next one. And this person, this man starts off talking about listening to what Paula said, and this was from the other podcast where Paula is someone who wrote me on FetLife and actually suggested that I do a cross-dressing podcast. So here we go. I listened to what Paula wrote to you and was struck by the many similarities to myself. My first experience with pegging, as I now know it to be called, came about 3 years ago. I was attending parties at a dungeon regularly and was asked by one of the mistresses if I would like to try it. I had built up a great deal of trust with them and agreed. She was very gentle with me, and I was struck by just what a pleasurable experience it was. When I dress, it's very much an all-or-nothing experience for me, even wearing a latex vaginal prosthesis to give me a complete feeling of being a woman. A therapist I know, and almost gave a heart attack to, when I went to her dressed for the first time, has told me that I seem so much calmer when transformed, and I'm almost like a different person. That's exactly how I feel. It's like that other fellow ceases to exist when Joanne is around. A little over a year ago, I met the most wonderful woman who is now my wife. I had made up my mind that I was going to be very upfront about my dressing and told her 2.5 hours into our first date. Luckily, she didn't run off screaming. Cindy has a very open attitude towards sex, and she was very willing to try pegging me. Our standing joke is that my sister is coming to visit. Joanne has her own room, no more working out of a storage unit, where she can get dressed. Cindy does makeup, and they have their girly time, like shopping, dinner, a movie, that sort of thing. Joanne will end up in her underthings and in bondage. Then a double-ended cock gag gets strapped into her mouth so that she can service Cindy. That is followed by a good spanking, flogging, paddling. Then things move on to the main event. Joanne's garters will be undone and her girdle pulled up. Her gag by this time will have been changed to a ball or cock without the end sticking out. We use a slim tantus in the harness. It's very effective without being too stretching. Joanne will be screaming through her gag, wanting to be fucked like a woman, and she gets her wish. The Hitachi comes into play to finish things off. For me, the pegging is part of the whole woman experience. I, like most crossdressers, have no desire to fully transition, but I want to be as close to being a woman as possible. Pegging gets me to that wonderful place. Feel free to follow up with any questions. Love, Joanne. Ah, thank you for writing that in, Joanne. I love that you have your own room and space to put your stuff, and it's Joanne's room. That's totally awesome. And I love the standing joke about your sisters coming to visit. So from what I gather, that's kind of how you initiate things. So like, I think tomorrow my sister's going to come to visit, which is letting Cindy know that tomorrow Joanne's going to show up and dress up. That's so awesome. I'm thrilled that you have found someone who enjoys this so much with you. That's totally awesome. And good for you for having the courage to be totally upfront when you were looking. 2.5 hours into the first date is quick to throw down your kink cards. But I do the same thing in terms of, well, you know, if you're not into pegging, then we shouldn't even be here. Actually, that happens sooner than 2.5 hours into the first date because I put it on my dating profile. Because, you know, if you can't get into that, then why would you be dating Ruby Ryder? But again, I'm thrilled for you that you have such an accepting situation. It's totally, totally cool. Here's my next letter. Thank you for your fantastic site. I am relatively new to pegging and interested in gaining better knowledge of it. A little background may be helpful. I am 55 and located in London, United Kingdom. I have always been single, not particularly sexually active. I have come to pegging via the S&M scene, initially spanking and corporal punishment, then expanding to face-sitting and CBT. Occasionally I like to cross-dress. This can satisfy a variety of wishes. Simply wearing a nice dress and feeling feminine, wearing lingerie, for example, a teddy and thong, and feeling slutty, and being humiliated. I have not yet combined cross-dressing with pegging. My experiences of pegging have been a little varied. For example, one lady moving steadily and not being particularly dominant. Another thrusting deeply and fairly hard and being very dominant, asking me to describe myself as a girl. I will look forward to combining cross-dressing and pegging, preferably being given a good spanking first. I look forward to hearing about others' experiences. Very best wishes. I love getting letters from across the pond. Thank you for writing in, sir, and sharing your story with us. I appreciate that very much. Okay, here's our next one. Since I was a little boy, I've had a fascination for stockings and pantyhose. Both my mom and sister were always wearing these, and when they washed them, they were hanging in the house. Of course, I couldn't resist the temptation to try these on. The feeling of wearing pantyhose was just amazing, and I started collecting these and wearing them under my pants. Throughout the years, I started gathering more and more feminine stuff and started transforming myself. I always get very aroused and masturbate. I had the desire to have a woman touch me while I was wearing panties, stockings, or pantyhose. My wife at that time was not into this, and I went to an escort to make this happen. This developed more and more, and through the internet I found a woman who helped me dressing up, do my makeup, and play with me. She was a part-time dom and wanted to tie me up. She did this and also had me sniff poppers. The next time she told me she wanted to peg me with a strap on and we set a date. Being very nervous, she dressed me up, did my makeup, tied me up, had me sniff poppers, and pegged me. This was just amazing, and I had the most amazing orgasm ever. Since that day, I'm totally hooked. Unfortunately, this dom got some marital problems, and I had to start looking for someone to peg me from time to time. I found an escort whom I meet every 3 weeks, and I dress up in panties, stockings, and high heels while being with her. I'm always looking forward, as these orgasms are just the best I have ever had. The one thing I'm really missing is a woman I have this special relationship with and would love to find someone. I have posted on the internet and haven't been lucky to find the one that will meet me from time to time. I keep cross-dressing when I can and use all kinds of anal toys to stimulate my prostate. Just want to find this person to share this with. This was my story, Francesca. parentheses, the name I use when I'm dressed up. Francesca, thank you so much for writing in and telling me your story. Sometimes, to satisfy fetishes that your partner won't, people end up going to escorts, people end up going to sex workers. Thank you very much, Francesca, for writing in and telling us your story. I so appreciate you sharing that with everyone. Okay, here's the next one. I started off cross-dressing before getting into anal play. Starting in my teens, I was sneaking in to wear my sister's clothes. It just made me feel sexy. I liked the feeling of being the object of desire. Most men's clothing is not overly sexy. Lingerie, heels, boots, and women's clothing can be just so damn hot. The impractical nature of it sometimes. No one wants to walk around all day in thong, garters, and 6-inch boots. It's just there to say, I am wearing this because I want you to fuck me. It has evolved more to wearing complete outfits with wigs and breast forms. It's like unwrapping the present. The way women's clothing fits is faltering and sexy. I think that's why I started getting into the idea of anal play with the goal of pegging, and now, to some extent, bisexuality. Having someone fucking me or telling me they want to fuck me is that high I get from cross-dressing. If someone wants to fuck me, that means they find me sexy and desire me. When I am super horny, I fuck hard and fast. I think most people do. I want to be the object of that lust. Someone is so turned on by me, they want to fuck me hard. Not to mention the joy of anal stimulation and the great orgasms. I've never been fucked by anyone other than myself, and the one time my wife tried with a butt plug, I was so nervous about it I was clenching up. She was kind of shocked by my toy collection, and it did not go well, and I think it turned her off to the idea even more. I'm a super sexual person and a very horny cross-dresser, and no one knows. Makes me a little sad for you, but thank you so much for writing in and telling me your story. You might want to ask her if she wants to listen to podcast number 112, but of course you're the only one that can make that decision if that's something that she might be okay with hearing. But yeah, it makes me a little sad that you don't have anyone to share that with. And nobody knows. Well, now we all know, even though we don't know you. And I support you 100% in doing what makes you feel good. Thanks for writing in. Okay, here we go. My interest in cross-dressing started at a very early age, but I didn't know what it was at the time. I liked my mom's satin panties and pantyhose. The first time I got off as an early teenager, I was looking at penthouse magazines and playing with stockings. For as long as I can remember, looking at beautiful women in Victoria's Secret catalogs turned me on. For most of my adult life, wearing lingerie just gives me an instant hard-on. I have often wondered why lingerie has that effect on me, and I have some theories. I think the days of Mad Men are gone, where women wore sexy undergarments as an everyday thing. It was the proper way to dress then. Today's women are so much more casual in their dress and couldn't be bothered to wear pantyhose or stockings. Most women I have dated have never even worn stockings, so it's almost turned into a fetish because it's relatively rare for me to see. After my divorce in my older years, late 30s, I decided to stop hiding my lingerie-wearing habits with partners. I would slowly introduce the women I was dating to my preferences. They knew I appreciated them wearing skirts, sexy lingerie, and stockings. This would be incorporated into our sex lives, too. Eventually, I would say I wanted to try wearing their panties, or let's try us both wearing stockings during sex. All the while, I would also break the ice about pegging. Every week would be something different to keep it new and exciting. Eventually, it would be us both wearing lingerie and having strap-on sex. I've done this in my past 3 relationships, and it was never weird or awkward, but it was fun and new. Then something changed. I had always fantasized what it would be like to live as a girl for a day. I didn't want to have sex with men, but I was more interested in living as a hot woman, getting to look sexy. I never thought of it as getting attention from men or validation from other women. It was just a fantasy of being a hot, real woman for a day. My girlfriend encouraged me to go out dressed up for Halloween one year, so I wore a skirt and stockings. I got a few, "Hey, nice skirt," comments from men, but that was it. That was the start. Next, we went to a few femdom parties, and I wore the same outfits I was wearing when we were pegging at home. I got a lot of compliments wearing my lingerie, stockings, and heels. I was hooked, and pretty soon I was buying dresses, fake boobs, shoes, jewelry, and wigs, trying to look more passable to go out in public. With the encouragement of my girlfriend, we were incorporating me going out dressed up while we were on vacations. Going out in public dressed as a woman was both nerve-wracking and exhilarating at the same time, but I loved it. Almost no one knows about my cross-dressing except a few women I know, and I prefer to keep it that way. It's like a fun, dirty little secret, an alternate identity, or just a fun thing to do. I consider myself a straight cross-dresser. I never liked or think of myself as transgender, tranny, or a sissy. Cross-dressing is a physical turn-on. It gets me aroused and always ends with sex, but at no time do I fantasize about sex with men. Pegging is almost always included, but I guess I identify more as a lesbian at that moment. I've often wondered a little about my sexuality due to my cross-dressing, but have come to some realizations. In my day-to-day life, I'm an alpha male, a manly man, and I do the fucking. There's nothing feminine about me at all. I am tall, have a full beard, not skinny, and prefer to live my life as a man. Every once in a while, though, I like to pretend to be a woman, be a sexy slut, and get fucked. What a wonderful way to balance those two things. Wow, that is totally awesome. And that you can go out and about is totally awesome as well. I mean, not with the full beard, I'm thinking, but with these days, the way that people wear almost anything, you could. You actually could. You'd probably get a lot of looks, but who knows? It might be really fun. But I get that you want to keep it secret and that it's more fun that way. It's almost more titillating. So thank you so much for writing in. Really appreciate the story. Okay, and here's our last one. This went quicker than I thought. You guys wrote some really long messages in, but I guess I had less to say in response to them. So here's our last one. I thought I would write in about my experience with cross-dressing and pegging. I first got into cross-dressing before I got into pegging. It initially started with purchasing a few pairs of panties online. I can remember being so excited the day a new pair would arrive in the mail and I could try them on. Eventually, I built up a pretty good collection, but until this time I had kept it secret from my wife. I felt guiltier and guiltier sneaking off to try on a sexy pair of panties and masturbate, and finally decided I needed to tell my wife. She laughed at me the very first time I showed her a pair of black Bali briefs I was wearing. As with pegging, it was a shock to her when I first told her, and it took her some time to get her head around it. When she understood it didn't mean I was gay or any less attracted to her, she started to understand and even expressed a desire to make it part of our sex lives. As I get older, I'm only 26 right now, I realize more and more that you need to stick up for yourself and the things you want in your sex life and your relationships. It is much better to face the discomfort of telling your spouse what you want rather than hide it in fear. And while it may be a tough conversation, I find you always come up better as a couple on the other end. Your podcast has helped me come to that realization, and I wanted to thank you for making the relationship between my wife and I stronger. Anyway, enough of that serious talk and on to the sex. One particular instance comes to mind when I told my wife I wanted to wear some heels, stockings, and a thong while pegging. Just putting the lingerie on gave me an instant erection. We started kissing, and before long, she was lubed up and sliding that smooth dildo into my ass. We pegged missionary position with my legs wrapped around her. There is something so sexy about feeling your wife's body against you as she thrusts into you. One thing I realized, though, is that you have to be careful where you point those heels. I almost took her eye out when I put my legs up. In the future, I'm sure cross-dressing will continue to be a part of our sex lives. It has been something I have experimented with, from just panties to full-blown clothes, makeup, etc. While I'm not knocking people taking cross-dressing to that level, I find it is tedious and that I'm never happy with the result. So it's not for me. What is most satisfying is just feeling sexy, and what I like is wearing a sexy pair of underwear underneath my clothes and knowing that my wife will be stripping them off me and taking my ass later that night. Very nice. Thank you so much for writing, and you sound very much like the man that I interviewed. Thanks for sharing your story with us, because we talked about a little bit about it in the interview, and this is elaborating a little bit more on that side of things. So it's great to hear this side of the story a little more. I totally agree with you. When people tell their partners, it's never a guaranteed thing that it's going to work out okay. And that's where that level of risk that you might blow a whole relationship or they might walk away and, you know, tell you you're screwed up or whatever. That's the scary part. But I do find that most of the time it turns out better. And I've also gotten some letters from guys who have said they've told their partner about pegging. And while their partner left, they wrote me a year or two later, and I've gotten two letters like this, and said, you know, that was probably the best thing that ever could have happened, because now I'm with someone that I'm sexually compatible with, and we're having a lovely time, and there were a whole bunch of other reasons why that relationship wasn't working. So yeah, it's a difficult decision, and it's a personal decision, and each one of you have to make it on your own. But I do tend to agree with this man that it's best to tell that, because think about the discomfort of that conversation and the risks that you're taking versus a lifetime of feeling kind of unsatisfied and fearful that they're going to find out you have this kinky part of you that you're unwilling to share with them. So yeah, communication, gotta love it.
Do you fantasize about having a sexier, more satisfying life? Entice Me is devoted to teaching men and women about positive, pleasure-focused approaches to sexuality. Whether you're spicing it up in the bedroom with your partner, planning a private retreat, or looking to just feel sexier, Entice Me will help fulfill your desires. Entice Me works with your needs to make positive changes in your life, in and out of the bedroom. Entice Me offers an award-winning, luxury line of ultra-fashionable, sophisticated haute toys and pleasure objects, which are of the highest quality. With in-home education, demonstrations, and discreet shopping, you'll have the time of your life spicing up your sex life. So what are you waiting for? Visit enticeme.com for more information about our products and services, or simply call 714-386-9684. That's 714-386-9684. Entice Me, making it a sexier world.
Okay, so let me make some announcements with the time that I have left. I'm doing another class in Long Beach, two classes, beginning and advanced pegging at my place in Long Beach at Tiffany's, and that is going to be May 15th. It's a Sunday, and they're going to start at 4 p.m. and end at 7:30. And what else? I am going to be at DomCon, which happens the weekend of the 20th through the 22nd. And on Sunday, May 22nd, I am going to be teaching two classes, beginning in advanced pegging, but with a lot more kink thrown in, because after all, this is DomCon. If you're going to be there at DomCon, I'll be at the parties both Friday and Saturday night. So come find me if you would like. I offer a hug to anybody that comes up and says, hey, aren't you Ruby Ryder? Can I have my hug? No matter whether I'm at a play party or a convention or you see me walking down the street. Yes, and by the way, if not all of you knew about this, I was actually on an episode of Comedy Central Not Safe with Nikki Glaser. She had a show that lasted 10 episodes, and I was actually on the last one, the 10th one, and I believe the name of that episode she called I Broke My Dick. And part of the reason she called it that is because of what happened in the filming part that I was involved in. So I'm absolutely thrilled that pegging has gone a little bit more mainstream, that Comedy Central approached me to be on the show. And I'm going to put a link in the Linkorama to the link on Comedy Central that has that one clip. I do not believe you can watch the whole show from that, but it will at least let you watch the clip that I'm in. So I think it went really well. I mean, it's a comedy show after all, guys. So of course they're going to be making fun of all kinds of things. But they weren't really making fun of in a bad way. They were just using humor, and I think that they treated the subject fairly well, considering it is a comedy show. So I was really pleased with it, and it was quite a wild ride. TV is an interesting experience, but I'm quite thankful to Comedy Central and Nikki Glaser and all of the people that made that whole experience a whole lot easier than it probably could have been. So yes, watch the clip, enjoy it. And Nikki got another 10 shows granted to her because of the success of these first 10. I was actually honored to be in the last show because I like to think that they saved the last for best. But, because in the very beginning, you know, when she was doing trailers, if you will, advertising on Comedy Central that her show was going to be premiering, she said, "We're going to talk about losing your virginity, and we're going to talk about sex, and we're going to talk about sticking stuff up your butt." And she said it just like that. Nikki's hysterical. So they had to wait all the way until the 10th episode to see that, right? She's taking a short break, and then on June 7th, she will be back with another 10 episodes. Nikki Glaser is a self-described curious pervert. She talks about how because she does sexual humor that she got branded as a sexual comic, even though guys can do sexual humor and they never get branded that way. So she decided to embrace it fully. And the clip is pretty funny. Nikki, like I said, is hysterical. So enjoy it. And celebrate the fact that pegging was on national TV. And Ruby Ryder was too. Speaking about myself in the third person, it was really fun. I live tweeted the whole thing, which is kind of what you do these days. And it was interesting. There wasn't a whole lot of bad stuff people were talking about. I mean, they treated it fairly nicely, which was totally unexpected. So yeah, happy about that. If you have not seen it yet, Pegging Paradise has a brand new look. I had some website work done, and now it's really shaped up and looking a little bit more like I want it to. Has have a little bit of ironing out of kinks to do. Not ironing out of those kinds of kinks. We a little bit of fine-tuning, let me put it that way. Let's leave the kinks just like they are. And the forum's working okay, but there's a lot more types of bells and whistles that I'd really like to add to it. So I'm working on figuring that part out as well. If any of you guys listening are cross-dressers and are kind of sad that you missed this particular podcast, please write in and tell me your story anyway, and I'll include it in future podcasts. It doesn't have to be a special podcast to include your cross-dressing story. You know, yeah, I'm happy to read that on the podcast. I love hearing from you guys. After the Nikki Glaser show aired, I took a little break and went to Zion National Park for 5 days and 4 nights with a girlfriend of mine. It was so beautiful there. Oh my God, it was beautiful. Unfortunately, it turned out to be National Parks Week, which meant everybody and their brother was there because they suspended their usual charge per car for entering all national parks, which is really a fabulous thing to do for a week because then people who don't usually have a lot of extra money can just pile everybody in, drive around and see all the amazing places that our national parks offer us, and Zion is particularly stunning. I found that, I'm not sure how many of you know that I do backpacking, and I'm quite proud to do it at my age still. I really am. And I found, unfortunately, that I had adjusted my expectations of solitude and quiet towards the backpacking area. So when I went to the park and the campground and everything, I hadn't done car camping in, maybe a decade. So yeah, it had been a long time. I had to breathe deep and put on my Zen hat, and I ended up actually doing some writing and staying back at the campsite for part of the time just because that was where fewer people were. But even while I was there, there is jaw-dropping beauty at that place. There really is. I posted one of the pictures on my blog, and I'll put a link to that. And wow, just amazing. If you ever have the chance to go, I highly suggest you explore it. Okay, well, that is it for this podcast. Okay, so this is funny because I was going to read my usual thing that I read at the end of every podcast, which starts out with, there are links in my blog for you to follow me on. And I went back and looked at my blog and I realized that we haven't put the links back in yet. So, hopefully very soon there will again be links on my blog for you to follow me on Twitter. You can find me on Twitter at Ruby_writer. On Facebook, I've got a profile and a page, and I keep getting those likes and I keep getting those thrills, you guys. Like 12 or 15 a week, it's like, you guys are racking them up. It makes me feel so wanted, so appreciated. Thank you so much. You can also subscribe to my blog there when the link is back, and I'll have an iTunes link as well. My podcast is also available through various podcast downloader apps. If you have a favorite downloader app and it does not have my podcast, please let me know, because usually it's a very small thing to get mine listed in there. And I'd appreciate knowing which ones don't have it so that I can make it easier for you guys. I know that once you have an app that you really like, you want to keep using that one and not have more than one. So yeah, shoot me an email, ruby@peggingparadise.com, and let me know if I am not on your favorite podcast downloader app. And I think that's about it. I do. Please call me at 805-500-6544 with any questions, comments, stories, fears, successes, adventures. Or you can write everything down. Send all those things to me, ruby@peggingparadise.com. Thank you again for downloading and listening. One more cheer for all you lovely men out there that like silky and satiny things and like wearing underwear and like combining it in your sex lives and just enjoying the hell out of that. I love you guys. You're the best. Happy pegging.